Welcome and thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church podcast. We are so glad that you are joining us today. For today's podcast, Pastor Jordan brings a teaching and a word entitled Spirit-Led versus Emotionally Driven. Prepare your hearts for a challenging and uplifting word from the Lord. Enjoy, be empowered, and be blessed.
God says it's very important for us to understand the difference between being spirit-led versus emotionally driven. He wants to pour out his spirit upon his people, and he has done so. But it's so important for us to be able to recognize who we are in him. For us to recognize that not only has he poured out his spirit upon us, but he has given us every tool to equip us to do what he wants us to do. But each and every one of you out there, you're his servants. You're his hands. You're his feet. You're his voice. And the work can't be done without you. So today, I want to be diligent and to make sure that I give you what God wants me to give you. That you understand before you leave here today who he is in you. And understand that you are worthy to serve him. Not because of who you are, but because of who he is in you. We sang that song, How Great is Our God. How many of you know he's a great God today?
Amen.
He is an awesome God. So, how many of you are willing to hear him today? Amen. You know, the verses that he dropped in my spirit was in Romans. And I want you to, when you leave here today, I want you to go over it again. Romans chapter 7 and Romans chapter 8. You need to read both. Because in one, you'll find the conflict. And in the other, you'll find a solution to the conflict. Paul was a great man of God. But how many of you know that Paul had to find out that even though he had the best of intentions, that he was going in the wrong direction against God? He was going in the right direction for the church, as it was. But he was going in the wrong direction for God in his zeal. Paul was a great man of God because he was always honest with himself. He was honest about his weaknesses, but at the same time, he did not deny his strengths. God has really, really been impressing upon me that we as a people have to come to the terms of how emotionally driven we are. Because how many of you know you can't deal with something unless you understand it? And I said, well, Lord, you know, we deal with so much every day. Our society deals with so much every day. We have things coming at us from one end to the other. We have jobs that are demanding. We have all the things that are going on in our lives that it seems like it's just overwhelming. I said, people are just driven by what they see, what they hear, what they taste and smell and touch. It just drives us. Why? I said, because the Lord, there's going to be some that say they just can't help it. And I wrote down his response. Are you more than they which I led through the wilderness to be purged of the attitude of slavery and idol worship because they could not see what is right in front of their eyes? Who found security in the one who held them captive more than he that delivered them? And I said, okay. I get it. See, we have to understand, and I had my wife write down something and said, from victim to victorious. See, because a lot of times we walk in a victim mentality. And that victim mentality, we get comfortable in it. And see, here in Romans chapter 7, starting at verse 14, here's Paul. Now, remember who he is. He's a full-time minister, full-time evangelist, full-time business person. Because remember, Paul didn't take any money from anybody. Paul was a tent maker, and he made his money. He did his business. He did what he was supposed to do because he didn't want to be beholden to anybody. He didn't want anybody trying to bribe him or tell him what he can do or influence the word that came out of his mouth. So he understands. He understands our schedules. He understands the demands that come with making sure that you're able to make sure you're making a living every day and still do what God wants you to do. He understands sacrifice. He understands when he cried out to God and he said, God, deliver me from this thorn in my flesh. But nevertheless, Lord, I trust you, not my will, but thine will be done. But here he's speaking, and for some people, when you're looking at these verses, it's like, what in the world is he talking about? Because here he says, so the trouble is not in the law, or not with the law, for it is spiritually and good. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for I wanted to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree with the law, that the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what was wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? And in verse 25, he says, thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. How many of you can relate to Paul? You see, because sometimes we think we're all alone in this struggle. And God's trying to show us we're not alone in this struggle. Paul had the same flesh. Peter had the same flesh. Joseph had the same flesh. David had the same flesh. I have the same flesh. You have the same flesh. And guess what? The person you're always mad at has the same flesh. See, we have a tendency to think that we're the only ones. See, and God wants you to know today you're not. But see, the thing that he wants you to understand today is simply this. Your flesh is not the problem. Let me show you. Go back to verse 25. What does he say? I see. He says, thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is in my what? Oh. Now let's go back to 23. But there is another power within me that is at war with what? Oh. 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 Yes, I have sight. Yes, I have hearing. Yes, I have taste. Yes, I have smell. And yes, I have touch. But I also have a mind. You see, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. See, because here's the thing I want to point out to you. Jesus had the same flesh. The very same flesh. You see, and we have to come to the reality that he came to show us the way. And if we truly say how great our God is, then we have to understand that he was great enough to give us the answer to the complexity of this flesh. We have to understand that there is nothing, nothing that he has created that he is not able to take mastery over. He said, all things were created by him, for him, and for his purpose. That's who we are. We were created by him, for him, and for his purpose. See, God has delivered us, and the problem is we have not yet acknowledged the deliverance. He wants you to acknowledge that today, because there's a work that needs to be done. In Romans 8, verse 2, it says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. Everybody say, I'm free. Now let's go back to this problem again. Let's jump down to verse 7 in that chapter. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Okay, what are we addressing again? Uh-oh. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So again, it's a mind thing. I want you to get this, people. Because when you get a hold of it, God will propel you forward to a dimension you can't even begin to imagine. You see, because God says, as a man thinketh, so is he. So what we want to get to where we start thinking like Christ says we are. We want to start thinking the way he thinks. You see, how many of you know that you have the Holy Spirit that dwells in you? So here's the thing in verse 13. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if ye through the what? Spirit. Do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. All right, now, I want you to see this. But if thou through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, what is that? He's telling you. You need to take control over this thing. You need to take control over the five senses. You need to take control over the things that have been controlling you. But see, before you can do that, you got to admit that they've been controlling you. See, because I'm going to tell you the thing that's liberating is if you can admit that these things have been controlling you, then you'll find out you'll have compassion on the ones who's also being controlled.
Come on. Amen.
See, because you'll look at them in a different way. See, but as long as you stay in denial, everyone else will be your problem. You see, we have to be willing to say, no, wait a minute. I may not understand what's going on with them, but I understand what's going on within them. God is about to do some great and awesome things. And you want to be a part of it. You have to be led by the Spirit of God. And to be led by the Spirit of God, that means you have to be willing to allow him to show you those areas that you have to overcome. Amen. You have to be willing to hear God's voice before you listen to that voice that you're normally listening to.
That's good. Amen.
You see, we all have to do it. I was sitting there when the Lord dropped this in my spirit, and I was going, Lord, is it really that bad? I was like, I have conversations with him like that, and I just ask him, I said, is it really that bad? Because you got to understand something, and people don't understand. When you walk in the prophetic realm, I'm going to tell you something. You walk kind of like, okay, Lord, what's next? Everybody sits there, I don't understand why that prophet went and hung. Why he went and hide in a cave? Because you're always wondering what's next. You don't know what God's going to do next. You don't know where he's going to put you, and you definitely don't know what he's going to have you say.
Uh-oh.
And you're going, Lord, oh, God, no. So there's a part of this thing in your flesh where you're going, okay, Lord, I don't want them to be pushed away from you. And the Lord said, let me show you something. And he did it in a weird way. I had a situation, and it was one of those things. And my wife gave me permission to tell you this, so I'm going to tell you up front. Okay? Because there's one of those situations to where I made one of these snap decisions. We were doing ministry, and the situation came up where somebody was really in a hard spot. And at the same time, there was a lot of stuff going on. And the Lord said, to resolve this, you need to go ahead and cover this. So it stops right here. So I said, tell you what. Here, put this on my card. It's $1,500. And my wife and I usually talk about stuff like that. Well, I said, put this on my card. It resolved the problem. I saw exactly what God was doing in the midst of and so forth. But my wife wasn't there at the time. Some of you know what's coming, don't you? So I come out and I said, well, honey, I said, well, the Lord's, you know, this is what the situation and so forth, and this is what the Lord told me to do. And she looked at me. And there was somebody else there, so I saw that look. It was one of those ones where she wasn't saying nothing at the time. So we got home. And I said, are you all right? As typical husband. Now, you got to understand, I know my wife. We've been married, what, 37 years now. And we've gone through a lot to get where we are. I've changed a lot. She's changed a lot. There's parts of us you don't want to know. But you want to know something? I saw something in her I hadn't seen for years. So I knew it was coming. And she went off. How could you do such a thing, make such a commitment without talking? We always talk about these things and so forth, and I'm not going to tell you how far it went in the other direction. And I looked at her. Well, wait a minute. Don't you trust when God tells me to do something? That was everything but beside the point. And I sat there, and her range went up, and my range went up, because I didn't feel she was hearing my, you know, from the normal calm person that I am. And then finally, I had said, Lord, this isn't going anywhere. And I went to my little place of solitude. And Lord said, do you see? Unless we truly crucify the flesh, what you have buried will resurrect itself. Now, the great thing about it is my wife has learned to champion things. She came to me and she said, I'm sorry. She said, because I know what you did was right. And I don't know why I reacted the way I did. I says, I do. Because God was doing that, again, to verify to me why this moment is so important. And I thank God that she has the mindset that says it's okay to talk about this stuff. Because she has a heart that says, I want people to be right with God as well. And sometimes we just have to talk about those things that happen to us. And we have to be honest about it and stop trying to cover up everything. Because sometimes we can be our own worst enemy when it comes to helping others to get set free. Why? Because we don't allow ourselves to get set free. I'm telling you today that God wants you to be set free. He wants you to realize where the true battle is. He wants you to realize that don't cover up what's going on inside you. Instead, deal with it. Deal with it. Be honest about what it is. Then deal with it. Take that thing. Don't put it in a closet. Burn it. If you remember in the Bible, it was talking about all those people who were caught up in sorceries and doing all kinds of abominations to God. They had a big bonfire. They put all their books, all their things that led them away from God, they put them all in a big pile and lit a match. See, we have a tendency to hold on to those things. Why? Because they're our security blanket. Just in case God's way doesn't work. Well, I got to come down here. Just in case God's way doesn't work, I got to leave a little piece of me there so I can handle that situation before it gets out of hand. Don't you know it's that little piece of you that complicates the situation? How many of you found out that you can do things God's way, and then what happens is you get kind of fed up because of the timeline that God has? So you decide God needs a little bit of help. And you find out that for some unknown reason, it takes you back to the beginning point. And little did you know, in the spirit realm, you were this close to the end. Today, God is saying, trust me. Lean not to your own understanding. Trust me, for I am God. He wants us to get to the point to where we're able to just rest in Him. We say so stressed out because of all the stress that we put on ourselves. We're tired. We're worn. Because of situations and circumstances. When he says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Every thought to obedience. So what you've been thinking? Now, here's the second part. Is what you're thinking now matching up with God's word? Is what you're planning to do matching up with God's word? Because here's another thing he showed me. When you go back into the verses and you look at when the disciples were out and they were preaching the gospel, and then the church didn't like what they were saying. And so they were saying, look, you can't be preaching this Jesus. We don't like you preaching this Jesus. So we're going to lock you up for a little bit while we figure out what we're going to do with you. And then while they were trying to figure out what to do with him, they turned around and the angel came to the disciples and said, hey, you don't need to be here. Let's get you out of here. So the angels lead them out, break them out of prison. But the angel says, now go back to what you were doing. He didn't say, let me get you out of here so you can run. He said, let me get you out of jail so you can go back and do what God told you to do. So, of course, the ones who jailed him came and looked for him. All right, now I know we locked him up. Now they're in a hurry to go find him because they figure they're going to run. Instead, what do they find him? Right back out. doing what they told him not to do. Now, some of us, how many of you know, if you got set free, you run? See, but they listened to the voice of God. They did what God said, trusting him that he would protect them. How many of you know you got to learn to trust him to protect you? But see, it turned around now. All of a sudden, they're saying, all right, we got to figure out these dudes just ain't, they're just not getting it. But then you have an elder in the same church. He says, look, you remember how many people have been raised up and trying to do something against the church? Well, the church belongs to God. So you need to leave these people alone. If it's not of God, it won't pan out. If it is of God, then we'd be better off leaving it alone. And they agreed and said, okay, you're right. We need to leave them alone. Okay, we're going to let them go. So, according to the scriptures, they went to let them go. But also according to the scriptures, they had to get that last little fleshly thing done. Because the scripture says, before they let them go, they beat them. Then they let them go. They agreed that it was right to leave it up to God. But then they had to get that last little fleshly thing in there just to make their fleshly point. But we don't do that, do we? Hello? God's trying to prune people. We got to see it for what it is. Why? Because he has a plan for you. Because he believes in you. He believes this is not something you can't do. He believes this is something you can do. All you have to do is see the true issue. It's something I have to deal with every single day. And believe me, there's a lot of people that don't understand me at all. I'm serious. There are people that avoid me like the plague. I'm serious. You don't realize. God says a man's gifts make room for him, and sometimes it makes a lot of room. Just serious. It's just being honest. Because people, I don't know why people would be afraid of God or God's word or prophecy or a word of knowledge. See, God does that to bring you closer to him. Amen. Not to condemn you. Amen. But for some reason, people think that, you know, if you're gifted in a certain way, that you're going to read their mail 24/7. Let's get this straight. Do you think your roof keeps God from seeing you? I'm just asking. So who are we kidding? I'm a nobody. He's everything. You're his child. That's why he watches over you. You know, there's so much that God has for you, but I want you to remember something, a lesson that Joseph learned. And I hope this brings this home to you on what you can do. When you start feeling overwhelmed, or you start having a pity party, or you start saying, I can't, or I don't understand why I should have to go through this, or why I should have to deal with this, I want you to think about Joseph. A 17-year-old boy, well, actually he was 19 at the time. And all he had was a dream. He shared the dream in excitement about God. And his brother said, "We don't like that. Who does he think he is?" So they began to make a situation for him. First, they take and mock, you know, it says put a mock up that he's been slain. Then they throw him in a pit. Then they sell him into slavery. He's faithful as a slave, keeping his eye on God rather than the situation. He's lied upon by someone who wants his body. He flees out of that situation, only to be falsely accused and imprisoned. He realizes God's grace is on him because by rights he should have been killed. But his God is watching over him all the time and putting influence. He goes to jail. Gets visited in jail. Still using his gifts. Become head of the jail. Servants of Pharaoh get imprisoned. He still uses his gifts. He prophesies unto them. His prophecies come true. The ones who said that they will remember him when they got out of jail didn't remember him for years. But then in God's time. How many of you can say in God's time? He was remembered. And he came out standing on his God, never denying his God in a foreign land, in a foreign situation, knowing that he could be put to death just because of the fact that he would not bow down to another God. And he becomes, using his God-given gift, he becomes second in all of Egypt to saving his family. His people, God's people. And afterwards, now this is the awesome thing, the same brothers. The same brothers were holding on all those years, wondering what Joseph was going to do to them. They saw all the changes in his life. They saw where he has been brought to, and they were thinking it all was to bring to the culmination of their destruction. They thought their only safety valve that they had was their dad. Joseph loved daddy, and as long as daddy's around, we're safe. But when dad died, the brothers feared for their life. Oh, my God, what is Joseph going to do? And then what did they do? They tried to remind Joseph. You know, this was Dad's wishes. But then in Genesis 50, here's the verses that were said in 17 through 19. So shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servant of God, thy father. Now, notice what they're doing. We're not just your brothers, but we're servants of God. We're servants of God. So think about that now. We're servants of God. Now, Joseph could add it to, yeah, you're servants of God that threw me in a pit. But here was Joseph's attitude. It says, and Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not. Now here is the thing. For I am, now fear not, what? For am I in the place of God? For am I in the place of God? People, we're about to close, but I want you to understand this. This message is about your understanding who you are in God and who God is. Understanding that you need to let go of judgment. You need to let go of the insecurities. You need to let go of your past sin. And understand that God is greater than your sin. You need to understand that He sent His Son to die for your sin. Let not His suffering be for nothing. For every day that you hold on to your sin, for every day that you let your past sin and your past life and your iniquity stand between you and doing the work of God, you keep Him on the cross. It's time to go forward. It's time to do the work of God with confidence. It's time not to cover up your sin, but instead to be able to talk freely about your sin, that others can relate to you, that they can know that there's a God who's able to forgive. They have to know that you're holy because He is holy, not because of who you are, but because of who He is in you. Are you subject to mistakes? Yes. But is He bigger than your mistake? Yes. You have to be willing to stand on Him. If you fall, get up. Dust yourself off. And move forward. Don't allow yourself to be a slave to sin. Don't allow yourself to have to wander in the wilderness for 40 years because you don't even recognize the God that is going by fire at night and by the clouds in the day, leading you each and every day, but yet you're hankering to go back to the ones who held you in bondage. He said He is the God that is the great I am. Not the God that I will be, but I am the great I am. Let Him be that God. Know that He is greater than you are. And you can rest in Him. I have big hands. I can palm a basketball. But His hands are greater and He can palm the earth. Amen. How much is He able to lift you up? How much is He able to carry you? Is your burden that great? Is your situation and circumstance that large where He's not able to deliver? Throw away your stopwatch and let Him be God. Stop saying, when, Lord? And start asking Him how. He has a work for you. He has gifted you. He has given you everything you need, starting with the cross to right now. His question to you is a simple one. Will you stand up and walk? Will you open your mouth and speak? Will you reach out your hand and take another hand? It's not complicated. It's called loving one another. Will you be a voice that's willing to listen? And will you allow him to lead the words that come out of your mouth? Will you take your senses and bring them under the authority of God so he can use you in a way that you can't even begin to imagine? Because you are able. Because he is able.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church Podcast, a place of new beginnings and hope for the future. We hope you were encouraged and empowered by today's podcast. Thanks again for tuning in. If you would like more information about our church, or if you would like to submit a prayer request, please visit our website at www.r4sq.org. We pray you have a great week, and God bless.